Yamadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and today Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison will be talking to us about knowing the difference between good spirits and bad spirits, and how to be aware of when you're being deceived.
Today I want to talk about good spirits, I want to talk about bad spirits. The good spirits are being angels, and the bad spirits are demonic spirits. And people need to know there is a difference. And people need to know that if, oh, dear Tony, I can't believe in demonic spirits or angels. But the Bible says the demonic spirits were fallen angels. And it was a fall from grace when Lucifer sinned in heaven. And Lucifer, he's known as the devil. He wasn't just the devil. He was an archangel. He was one of God's special angels. He was an archangel in charge of music and worship. But he sinned and he fell from grace. But not only did he fall from grace, he took a lot of angels with him who become demonic spirits. My very first encounter with one of these demonic spirits was when I was a child growing up on the mission. My auntie Rosie, who lived with us, her husband died, and we went to the funeral. And when you go to an Aboriginal funeral, they come from everywhere. And it's really important to Aboriginal people. And we came back to the house to have some sweets and afternoon tea and some cakes. And that while we were standing in the kitchen of a home, the person who died, the person that we buried as a child, that his spirit actually came into the house. And it looked like him. It sounded like him. And he said to us, he said, "Don't worry about me, because where I'm gone is a beautiful place." And he just disappeared. And then when I went outside, we could hear this dog barking. And I knew there was no dog in our yard because our dog had died that week as well. And when I went outside, there was this dog on the chain and he was barking his head off. And then when I walked towards it, it disappeared. That was the same day, it was the second time that I saw two demonic spirits coming in the form of something that was treasured and loved by us as a family. First of all, it was my uncle, and then secondly, it was the family pet, the dog. My mum used to tell us some funny stories about how Aboriginal people were so frightened of the dark. And I've got to tell you this story because it's so funny. My mum said there was an old Aboriginal couple, and we all used to go to the movies. And back in them days, there was not a lot of entertainments. They had a movie picture show in Moree, and it was an open-air one. And in the summertime, we'd all walk from the mission into town to go to the movies. And because all these black fellas were frightened of the dark, there was only a couple of us that, you know, I wasn't one of them, but my dad and a couple other men who weren't really frightened of the dark. And we used to walk to the mission. And can you imagine about 150 Aboriginal people walking along this dirt track through the briar bushes, through the scrub, because it was too long to go around by the dirt road. You know, you got three people in front of us not frightened of the dark, and you got 250 people all trying to walk in the middle because they're frightened of the dark. And, you know, nobody wanted to walk at the rear. And so the path wasn't that big, and it was so funny that they would walk the town, go to the movies, and it was always ranch night. They used to have all the old Randolph Scott, Audie Murphy, John Wayne. You know, men grew up on John Wayne and Audie Murphy. And we'd walk to the movies. And then after the movies, there wasn't a bus service to the mission, so we'd have to walk home. And my mum was telling us this story that this old couple, they didn't have any children. And they were so frightened of the dark that they lived at, there was three missions. There was the top camp, the middle camp, and the bottom mission. Sorry, there was four, and over at the common. And so all these Aboriginal people will walk from their residence to the town and go to the movies. But Mum told us about this old couple, and they had these two little puppy dogs, two little fox terriers, I think they were, or chihuahuas. Anyway, they're little ankle biters, don't you? They think they're German shepherds about the big dog and a little dog's body. Anyway, because you weren't allowed to take dogs into the movies. So what this couple used to do was, they used to dress the dogs up in baby's clothes. And they bought a pram, and they put the dogs in a pram. Anyway, they'd buy tickets to go to the movies, and they'd push the pram into the movies. And because it was an open-air picture theatre, it was all gravel, you know, and there was canvas seats. So it didn't matter whether you was black or white, you all got canvas seats. The only difference was the black fellas had to sit up the front, and the white fellas up the back. But after the movies was over, they'd start walking back to the mission, and there weren't a lot of street lights. The husband used to carry one of the dogs on his shoulder. And as they're walking home in the dark, as soon as the dog started barking, she said he'd throw the dog up in the air, about 6 foot in the air, and he'd take off and start running. And they'd run home to the mish, and they'd hide, you know, because they was terrified of the demonic spirits. Can you imagine taking two dogs dressed as babies into the movie house and then walking home with them? And as soon as the dog barked, you'd chuck it up in the air and you'd run for your life. And that was just one story that Mum used to tell us about. But Mum used to tell us stories about the hairy man. And that was a spirit that it used to be about 3 or 4 foot high. And it had hair all over its body. And that's where the name hairy man comes from. And it used to be able to run on the ground like a dog, or sometimes run upright on its 2 feet. And Mum was telling us a story. When they were little, they didn't have entertainment, so the black people, the Aboriginal people, on the Friday night, they would gather wood all day, and they'd have this bonfire, and they'd cook up a lot of food. Because you got to imagine, we lived inside tin humpies. There was no houses, there was no electricity, and they'd have a big circle around the main part of the mish at the old top camp. My grandfather and another old man, they would play the accordion, and they'd be singing, "She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes." And they'd sing all these old songs, you know, I grew up with them, and they'd play them, and they would dance all night on a Friday night, right through till Saturday. And Mum was telling us when she was a little girl, they was all running and playing hidey-go-seek and chip and all that, and running around while the adults were singing and dancing. And she said one time the hairy man showed up, and it was just normal for the hairy man to run around and play with the kids, and they weren't afraid of them. But Mum said, you know, as they got older, when they heard the stories from the elders, the hairy man became a very frightening thing. And people used to be always afraid of the hairy man, and it's a big important thing in Aboriginal culture. And a lot of people talk about it today, like pastors that I know that minister to Aboriginal people. They'll say to me, they'll say, "Tony, you know, we often get called out, especially when they've been drinking. We get called out to someone's place, and when we get there, they're cowered into the corner because they're afraid." And you ask them, "What did they see?" And they said, "Oh, we saw the hairy man." And they start living in fear, and they're afraid of the hairy man coming to get them. But most white people would see the hairy man. Yeah, you know, you say to your kids, if you don't get home tonight by 6 o'clock, the boogeyman will get you. Well, that's the white version of the hairy man. But you see, that's just breeds fear in the people. And they expect it that when the hairy man comes, he's going to come and harm them. He's going to do things to them. But over the years, I can tell you of many incidents where I've come across demonic spirits. But the most important thing I want to tell you today, if you know Christ, you don't have to fear these demonic spirits, because the Bible tells us that we have 100% authority over them as a believer, over them. And the Bible says that we can use the name of Jesus at any time and say, "In the name of Jesus, get away from me. In the name of Jesus, be gone." And that demonic spirit has to obey, because the authority comes not from us, but it comes from God.
Just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord.
Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Of the night,
our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom, and mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's different times in my life I taught my children that whenever you're confronted by humans or things in fear, you need to be able to trust God, trust our Father in heaven. And even if you are being attacked by something or somebody, all you need to do is say it. In the name of Jesus, stop. In the name of Jesus, get out. And I remember when my daughter was probably 8 or 9 years old, and we lived in Mount Druitt, and I said to her all the time, when you stay at people's places, you know, remember that you're a Christian and that God lives in you and he will always protect you. She went to stay with this family, and they was a religious family, like an Eastern religion. And the family, she noticed every time they walked past this cupboard in the hallway, they'd open it up and they'd bow down to whatever was in the cupboard. And the father said to my little girl, he said, "You don't go to that cupboard. You do not open the door." You can't say that to any girl. You can't say, "Do not go there and open that cupboard door," you know. You got yours and Buckley's of any of them obeying that and not doing it. Anyway, my daughter was just a typical girl. She, when there was no one looking, she actually opened that cupboard door. And when she opened it, a demonic spirit came out of that cupboard and started to choke her, physically choke her. And she was getting to the point where she couldn't breathe, she couldn't scream out, she couldn't say anything. But she remembered what Dad had taught her, and she said, in the name of Jesus, in her mind, "Stop, let me go." And at first it hesitated, then she said again and again, "In the name of Jesus, stop, let me go." And that thing had to let her go, and it did. The family asked her to leave, and they actually brought her home, and they said, "Don't ever bring her back into our house again, because she upset our God." And the thing that was in her cupboard was a Buddha. I've had a lot of experiences about these types of spirits, and they can be very powerful and dangerous, and they can cause a lot of havoc in your family, in your life. People think They're good things. And they give them comfort, you know. And while ever they're doing what the Spirit wants them to do, they leave them alone. But when you start challenging or learning about God, that's when they will turn on you. Because the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, to kill, to murder, and he's nothing but a liar. So anything from a religion, you can't trust. The only one true God you can trust is Jesus. You can trust God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But you need to know that as a believer, you have authority. Now, when my daughter experienced that, she knew that she was protected by God. And there's other times and other events that I've come across these spirits. And I was away preaching once at a place called Madawi. That night, my very first night in the place, I stayed at this house. All night we came under attack. I come under attack, my family come under attack from these demonic spirits. And they just ran amok inside the house and it upset people. People couldn't sleep. We had to get up and pray and stand against it. But that night I had a dream from God. And God had showed me that this town was a stronghold where demonic spirits lived. I'll tell you again that the airy man is probably, in the best way I can explain it, is a white man's version of Bigfoot. But he's only a very small demonic spirit in the sense that he's only very small in stature, but he's very powerful. And he keeps a lot of the Aboriginal community in fear. And when I went down there to preach this weekend, I had this dream. And the very next day, while I was out driving around, I saw the house in the dream that I saw. And I said to somebody, I said, "Can you tell me who owns that house?" And they said, "Why do you ask?" And I said, "Because I had a dream that a lot of people are being killed. A lot of our children are being killed because of what's in that house." And then somebody said to me, "You know what, Tony?" They said, "That is a house that produces amphetamines and it's a drug house. And it's probably one of the biggest drug distributions in the Hunter Valley. It is killing our kids just like I saw in the dream, because the drugs will kill the kids eventually." And then, you know, I went around this town and I saw the places that God showed me in the dream, you know, and I took authority as a believer in Christ over the demonic spirits over that town. And we had three or four beautiful days of preaching. And then while I was actually preaching on the Sunday, I started to talk about what time that I preached at Mount Druid. And six witches actually came into the church service. And these witches, Christians said, they didn't want these witches to come into the church service because they believed the opposite of what we believe as Christians. And I said to the pastor, "God loves these witches. He don't like what they do. He loves the people, and they need to be allowed to come into the service." You know what? Three of those witches got saved in. And because God's got a sense of humor, when I was doing the church service, when the six of them came in, I said, "Look, there's only one requirement that I've got, that you park your brooms over there." And, you know, they had a bit of a laugh and a bit of a giggle. But when I was actually preaching on this Sunday, three witches manifested in the front row. And these are people that have been going to church for a long time. And they deceive people. And you see, people with demonic spirits, they live inside of you. You go to the Bible and you talk about, you can hear about one man that lived in amongst the cemetery, and he had all those demonic spirits within inside of him. And he had up to 1,000 live inside of him. And so they're very real. And you have to know that God's in control. Any demonic spirit, any devil, any religious spirit on this planet have no authority over Jesus Christ. They have no power to come against God or his people.
None like child. Out of ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None.
Chris Tomlin, Our God is Greater. We also heard from Rich Mullins with Awesome God. This is King's Kids, and you've been listening to Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison share with us on knowing the difference between good spirits and bad spirits, and trusting God is who he says he is. Psalm 27, verse 1 to 3 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. We need to walk always in confidence in the knowledge that God is near always. He will never forsake us. We can also protect ourselves against evil spirits by putting on the full armor of God. There are 6 pieces of equipment in this armor. First, the girdle of truth. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. Third, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel. Fourth, the shield of faith. Fifth, the helmet of salvation. Sixth, the sword of the Spirit. Every believer should know that he or she is of God and needs to separate themselves from the fact that they do not belong to the wicked one. Satan does not take a break ever, just as God never takes a break. Satan loves to exercise his dominion over the world as its ruler. He is continually at work, and that is why there is not a single place in Scripture where it tells us we can take the armor off. We have to put on the armor of God all the time to stand against the schemes of the enemy in every place. We all know the peace of God in the midst of our greatest battle, but there is no time we should ever let our guard down or remove our armor. The armor of God is not just protection that we have come up with. It is actually something that God himself has given us. This weapon will fully protect us in this life from any weapon that is formed against us. That is all we have time for this week. Though, make sure you come back next week to hear the rest of what Tony has been sharing with us on the difference between good spirits and bad spirits. I'm Heidi. This has been King's Kids. You can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International. Or if you would like prayer, you can always ring Tony on 0427 839 747. That's 0427 839 747. See you next week.